Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing? I don't know what it is, but there's something about our area where snow comes down on Saturday nights and Sunday mornings. It's kind of crazy. And I was looking at it on the radar. It was just these little two blue streaks like this. And it looked like it was south of Troy. And I'm like, why are we getting the snow out here if it's south of Troy? But anyways, so another kind of crazy January, but we're so glad to see all of you. We want to welcome those that may be listening online later on this week or later today. And we are so glad that you've tuned in to join with us, those that have come out today to join in worship. And so as we begin this morning, let us stand and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be.
Let's join together for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. Fortunate are we who delight in the Lord.
We come here where generations have gathered.
Here the light of God shines in our lives.
Here let God's light shine through us.
Let us worship our radiant God. Well, let's join together there. And if you have your insert, if you grabbed it there with the hymns on it, we're going to sing He Keeps Me Singing.
Life's ebb and flow.
swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flights to world unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as
Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. Amazing God, You have gathered us from many places to come together and praise You this day. For this we are grateful. As we worship today, may our minds be open to learn Your wisdom. May our hearts be open to Your Spirit, who gifts us and guides us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're going to sing the next little hymn there. Always one of my favorites. It only takes a spark to get a fire going.
Warm up in His glory.
could have kept singing it. I didn't know she had the chorus part again there. Yeah. You know, when we were singing that second verse and it come to "What a Wondrous Time Is Spring," I'm like, yes, and we cannot wait. Well, we're going to go right to our time of prayer this morning, and we'll give you a chance to share any joys and concerns that you have this morning. And so we will begin, and somebody want to start us off.
Our friend Jeannie has shoulder surgery.
Ah. When is that coming up?
Friday, the 13th.
Ah. All right, so we want to remember Jeannie in our prayers. Somebody else?
Unspoken.
Okay.
Unspoken.
Unspoken.
I have an unspoken too.
Okay, it's fine.
Doug is having shoulder surgery Tuesday.
Yeah, and I knew both of those, or I knew Doug's was. I didn't know about yours. So we want to remember both of those. Tuesday. Somebody else. Yeah.
I talked to Monica Cardo. She had her valve, but that's not all they want to do. On Wednesday, she's going to have a pacemaker and I think it's the combo with the defibrillator, but she needs more.
Mm-hmm. So we want to remember Monica in our prayers this morning, as she's going to have that little surgery to put the defibrillator. Are they going to do the pacemaker too, or just
that's
the?
What I think it was.
Yeah, it's combo. Yeah, yeah. Which? Yeah. Okay. Somebody else. Yeah.
Keep Tommy Maxson in your prayers, as he's having surgery on the 16th.
We will do that then. Keep Tom in our prayers then for surgery coming up too. Someone else? Somebody else, yes.
My sister Maggie.
We want to remember Becky, who's having a lot of different health issues there. And yeah, so. Somebody else this morning? Anybody else? Okay. Unspoken. Anyone else this morning? Ask for you to keep Cindy Rose in your prayers. A few of you may have known that. I know the prayer chain did. She had surgery this past week on Wednesday to remove cancer. And I did not know this, even though I've talked to her several times in that 8-week period, but she had chemo treatments before that. And Mark said that she is recovering and doing well, like they want her to, and we'll probably know more here in the weeks, months ahead. But just pray for her for recovery, and pray that all the margins are good and everything will be, you know, so we'll know more about that. Pray for Tom, and we are thankful that it was not more serious, and we thought he might have surgery and was going to be laid up till July, but he just has to wear a boot for 8 weeks. But he said that's too long anyway, so which I could probably understand if I'd be in your shoes. But pray for healing there, and anybody else this morning? We go to prayer. So if there's just kind of pray for as everybody travels home, you know. So when I first came out this morning, it was saying it was only going to snow for like an hour, but it ended up being a lot longer than that. So yeah, and just people traveling and different things. So this morning, all right.
correct.
Okay, yes.
The San Antonio.
Yes.
And John had his surgery on his second eye a week ago, Thursday.
Okay.
It didn't go quite as smoothly as the first
one. The first one. Sometimes that happens, but...
I told him it might not be quite an easy one.
Yeah, so we want to remember John.
He needs to just keep healing.
Yeah, as he's recovering, remember him. Remember them and traveling. Remember Brad and Carla, who's going to be traveling this week, I think on the 7th, because they said they would be back on the 8th, so she could play at Ash Wednesday service. So, but yes, we want to keep them in our prayers as they are traveling. So, any others? All right, well, give you a chance to pray for some of those needs as David plays the song, and then I'll come and close us out. Pause today. We are thankful for your goodness in our lives and how you've blessed us in so many different ways and how you watch over us. Lord, we're thinking about so many today, not just those that have been mentioned, but people around the world and places where they seem to be experiencing life in a total different way, where there's oppression and wars and civil wars and hunger and starvation and just so many things that we so often miss or are unaware of what others are facing in the world today. And so we lift up all of our world today. We pray for places where war and fighting and violence seems to be an everyday occurrence, God. We ask for your peace and your grace. We ask for changes to come about to make our world a more peaceful place so that people can flourish and live their lives in different ways. We continue to lift up the situation going on in Russia and Ukraine, God, as the administration has called for peace, and God, we just pray that that would come about somehow, some way, that they will be able to negotiate that and get that worked out. God, we pray for other places where there's experience like that, God, and we just ask for your grace and your touch and your hand to be there in those situations, Lord. God, we lift up places around our world where medicine is scarce and, Lord, where disease seems to be so prevalent in certain places and parts of the world, God, that you would make a way for doors to be open and healing to come about, God. Lord, we lift up those that have been mentioned today. We pray for Manya, Lord, as she's going in for this surgery, for Doug and Tommy and Jeannie, God, that are all going in for surgery here in the next week or two. Lord, that you will guide the surgeon's hands with all of them, be with them, be able to mend them, Lord, in the way that needs to be done. We ask that you'd watch over them and protect them and give them strength and courage and peace, Lord, and may they recover quickly and strong, mended, and made whole because of that. Lord, we lift up so many that, like Becky today that's in need, and Tom today that's in need of your healing touch, Lord. We pray for those, Cindy and John, that's recovering, God. Ask for your healing strength and touch to be with them, God. today, each of them, Lord, we just lift up to you. And Lord, we lift up those that'll be traveling, God, that you'll just be with them. Give them safe trip, Lord, and Lord, bring them back safely to be with us. And Lord, thank you for your goodness in our lives. And Lord, how you seem to make a way where there sometimes doesn't look like there's a way through. But you are the way maker, and we're thankful for that today. And so we ask, Lord, if anyone during prayer time lifted up other needs that maybe they couldn't share, we ask that your hand would be upon them and that you would move in those situations. And Lord, for the four unspoken needs that were mentioned today, God, that you would also move in each of those and work your grace and your hand in those situations. And we're thankful and grateful for that today. Lord, we ask your blessing upon this time as we've gathered in your name. We're thankful that Jesus, you are with us here in this place. And we pray that as we break the bread of your word, that you will remind us of those essential things that we bring with us, that we carry out in our lives as we come and worship you, Lord, and come before you, God, and seek good and seek your way in our lives and in our communities, in our homes, and in our and in our world, in our nation. Lord, we pray that you will just bless this time together. And Lord, we ask later as we head home that you will be with us. Give us traveling mercies. Watch over all those folks that will be heading home from their worship services and some that are heading there right now. God, that you'll watch over all of them as we thank you for all these things now. And ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to pray with us this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And so as our ushers come this morning, thank you for your faithfulness, and God bless you as you give today. Thank you. let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Abundant God, we are grateful for the ways you bless our lives and for the gifts you give us. May these gifts bring help and healing. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, this morning, our scripture reading is coming really, it's coming from last week's lectionary reading. Remember last week, I was doing the previous weeks, and I had already started working a little bit on this one technically it would have been for last week. But anyways, I decided to stay with that. And this is a very familiar, at least the last verse, verse 8, for many of you. But Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. How will I approach the Lord God when I bow down before the Most High? Will I approach with sacrifices of year-old calves? Will thousands of sheep or rivers of olive oil please God? Should I sacrifice my oldest child for my offenses? The fruit of my womb for my sins? No, the Lord God has told us what is good, O human, and what God seeks from us. Only deeds of justice, love of kindness, and walking humbly with God. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Few of you might remember this one, an elderly man on a moped, looking about 100 years old, pulls up next to a doctor at a streetlight. The old man looks over at the slick, shiny car and asks, "Wow, what kind of car you got there, sonny?" The doctor replies, "A Ferrari GTO. It cost $500,000. "Wow, that's a lot of money," the old man says. "Why does it cost so much?" "Because this car can do up to 320 miles an hour." The doctor really said it proudly. The moped driver asks, "Mind if I take a look inside?" "No problem," replies the doctor. So the old man pokes his head into the window and looks around, and then sitting back on his moped, the old man says, "Whew, that's a pretty nice car, all right. I'll stick with my moped." Just then the light changes and the doctor decides to show the old man just what his car can do. So he floors it, and within 30 seconds, the speedometer reads 160 miles an hour. Suddenly, he noticed this dot in his rearview mirror. It seems to be getting closer. He slows down to see what it could be, and whew, suddenly, something whips by him going faster. What on earth could be going faster than my Ferrari? He presses harder on the accelerator and takes it up to 250 miles an hour. Then up ahead, he sees that it's the old man on the moped. Amazed, the moped could pass his Ferrari. Well, he gives it more gas and passes the moped at 270 miles an hour. Now he's feeling pretty good about himself. But once again, as he looks in his rearview mirror, he saw that old man gaining on him again. Astounded by the speed of this old man, he floors the pedal and takes it all the way to 320 miles an hour. Not 10 seconds later, he sees that moped coming up on behind him again. The Ferrari is flat out, and there's nothing else he can do. Suddenly, the moped plows in the back of the Ferrari, demolishing the rear end. The doctor stops, jumps out, and unbelievably, the old man is still alive. He runs up to the bald, banged up guy and says, "I'm a doctor. Is there anything I can do for you? And the old man whispers, unhook my suspenders from your side view mirrors. I want to talk to you this morning about three essentials God cares about. What essentials do you need to live each week or month? Now, we're not going to say houses or clothing because we all kind of know that. But maybe food like milk, eggs, bread. For some of you, it might be pop. Energy drinks, coffee, bottled water, tea, maybe meat, fruit, vegetables, snacks, chocolate, cleaning supplies, toilet paper. it could be a variety of things. There's just things we need to get each week or each month, depending on how it all works out, of what we need. Well, in our reading today, Micah is a country preacher, a country prophet, who tells Israel of three essential practices that are good for all human beings. And they're good because they sustain good in our lives. In our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our countries, and show true devotion to God. When Micah starts talking, if you go back to verse 1 of chapter 6 and read there, he uses a word that talks about coming before God in worship practices, in worship rituals. And the emphasis throughout that seems to be on the things that they were used to. But Micah challenges them and said that there's more to it than that. And what we need to be able to do is come before God in a different way, or maybe with these essentials. So Micah begins all of this by saying, listen up. I want to tell you something important. You know, if you've ever remember when you were in school and you heard the teacher say, listen up now, I'm going to tell you something. And in my day, they would say that you might see again, which meant on a test coming up. Now, today we just say this is probably going to be on the test. But they never said that back when I was in school. And here's the question that Micah puts forth. What does God require of us? Now, one commentator I read this week said, you and me. And I thought that was very interesting. So it made me think a little bit further. Well, then, what does God care about that is good? You and I, number one, treating others justly. Justly. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. So the first essential is what I'm going to say as fairness. Fairness. Treating somebody fair. Treating somebody right. The essential or the essence of the word justice, which is mishpat in Hebrew, is doing right by others as the proper way to use power and authority. So every time we interact with somebody, we can choose to treat them in certain ways. And we can either be kind, we can either be loving, we can either be grace-filled, you know, or we can treat people in a different way. Like, we're the boss, we're in charge, you know, kind of flaunting our power and authority. I remember there's been a few times when I've been subbing at school when some of the students were really acting up and got on my nerves, and I yelled at them. And they were all like, I remember, I think it was some junior high students, Mr. Egbert, we've never seen you yell before or get mad. And I said, well, yes, I am, you know. And in that moment, I had to exercise some authority there in that situation. So that's a little bit of the thing that's going on. But the key, though, that Mike is wanting us to see and what God is wanting us to see is that we do that rightly and fairly and justly when we deal with people and situations. And that's why Proverbs 8:20 says, people who walk rightly or righteously will treat people rightly. And I found that very interesting. Because most people today think of justice as bad people getting what they deserve. But in Scripture, justice is about treating all members of society rightly, fairly, by making right and just decisions, judgments, or expressing authority about them and then acting accordingly on their behalf. Especially to the weakest. Who's the weakest? Who's the weakest? Who's the weakest in your family? Probably the youngest, right? Some of you share your joys and you talk about, I got that new little grandbaby. Or I got that new little great-grandbaby. You know, how do you treat that little one? Carefully. Preciously. You know, you hold on to them. You make sure their head's supported. You know, all those kind of things. And God insists that Israel and Judah and their leaders treat people fairly. And Jesus tells his followers to treat each other fairly. One of the most famous things, some of the disciples are arguing about wanting to be great in God's kingdom. And they're going through all these things. And Jesus says, I don't want to hear anything about you ever acting like the tyrants in the world, the rulers in the world. We don't do that. But the greatest will be the one who is the servant of all. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples and teach them, and Mike is trying to tell Israel the same thing, is that that essential thing is that we have that kind of a heart that treats people rightly and justly and fairly in all that we do. And then it doesn't stop there, because it's not necessarily in our text, but I want to bring in two other texts. The second thing that's part of that is joy, there's your next term, comes to those who act justly. In other words, when we treat people fairly and rightly, that there's joy that comes into our heart. Listen to Psalm 106:3. There is joy for those who uphold justice, who do what is right. And it's in parallel form in the poetry, so that what is the one who is upholding justice is the one who is doing right by them. And then listen to Proverbs 21:15. When justice is done, upright folk rejoice. In other words, we're happy to see people treated fairly and rightly because we want to be treated fairly and rightly, don't we? Are there things we need to do to make things right or fair in our families or church or town? Do we speak up for someone that we see being mistreated or not treated fairly and rightly? Treat others justly. Second thing Micah talks about, that other essential thing, is treat others kindly. Kindly. And the second essential then is kindness. Kindness. Now, the Hebrew word that's used here in this instance is found all over the place, and it's always about God acting this way. God's unfailing devotion to people through acts of kindness, mercy, and grace. So in some translations, you'll see, instead of kindness, you'll see mercy. Or loving kindness, or something of that nature. I think we used to sing that chorus. We haven't sung it in a long time. Thy loving kindness is better than life. In other words, God's loving kindness being shown into our lives. I mean, it's better than life. We couldn't live a good, enjoyable life if we didn't have that. It conveys God's faithfulness to us, even when we don't deserve it. And maybe that's the mercy part of it. God's kindness is a model for all of us human beings who love offering such kindness and mercy to people in need, to people who don't deserve it. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard when somebody treats us wrongly, treats us bad, to turn around and offer them mercy and kindness. It's not easy. It's not easy. Such goodwill is expressed through our actions. There's your next word. In other words, it's the difference between talking about it and really showing it. I read this week, and it was just happened to run across it online. Somebody was talking about the difference between being nice and being kind. And here's how they kind of conveyed that. Being nice typically involves words or just simple gestures. A nice person may call a neighbor, may say hi and smile. They may say, how are you doing? They may call you up and make sure you're all right. They may offer sympathy or prayers. You know, that's being nice. But a kind person, and notice how this person draws the contrast, a kind person may drop off soup or offer to give somebody a ride or pick up groceries or something else. And as I was thinking about what they said, I thought, well, that's what Jesus taught us. Because Jesus, this kind of kindness is what Jesus meant when he told his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount to go the extra mile. You remember that little story? He says, if a soldier comes along and tells you, you got to do this and walk a mile to do it, Jesus says, you do it 2 miles. In other words, you're taking the extra effort, the extra step, and you're going the extra mile for someone. I use the word extra mile because that's the language we use so often. Or it's what Jesus meant when he said extending compassion to the least. Because he says, when you do that to them, you're doing it to me, the Matthew 25 principle. Walking kindly. And then there's this final thing there. Number 3, walking carefully with God. The third essential is humility. Humility. And this right here may be what motivates the other two we just looked at. Because the Hebrew word that's used here combines elements of both restraint, modest, with humility when walking with God. In other words, it's not something that we're arrogant about. Our relationship with God is not an arrogant, braggadocious kind of a thing. Thinking we are better than others because we have God in our lives. Let me just say something a little bit about that. Over the years, as a pastor, I've seen people that God really changed their lives and made a difference in their life, and they became what we sometimes say, they got on fire for God sometimes. I mean, they were so excited. But I've seen some of that same situation where people got arrogant and thought they were better than everybody else because of that. And that's not that humble, restrained walk with God. Because that is the foundation of wisdom, as Micah says. And it's the way that Jesus taught us to walk. Why? Because such care in our walk with God keeps us grounded. There's your last term this morning. I don't know if you ever paid attention to the beginning of Genesis. We know that God is creator. We've talked about that. We understand that. But we are told in chapter 2 that humans all are creatures of the ground. And let me tell you how that plays out. So the word in Hebrew for humans is Adam. Yes, it's where Adam's name came from, Adam. But God says that Adam was made from the Adama. You catch the difference there between Adam and Adama? Adama means the ground. We are ground people. We are dirt people. And we emphasize that on Ash Wednesday, the dust. You know, some reason, I don't know why we always talk about the dust, but it's really, we're ground. We are of the ground. We are of the soil. And I think the reason that is so important in Genesis is because it connects us to one another. We may look different. We may speak different all over the world. We may have different cultures. We may have different ways of thinking. We may have different ways that we do things as human beings around the world. You know, it's always funny watching the Olympics because you see some of that come out. But we are all soil ground people. All of us. And such a reminder should keep us grounded in whose we are and open ourselves up to God who breathed the breath of life into the ground that He formed and made us with His Spirit, who gave us power and passion for living. But it also connects us with all people everywhere in our world. Treating others fairly and devoting ourselves to kindness springs from that humble, modest walk with God. All three take practice. It just doesn't happen. And all three are good, as Micah says, and are essential for our journey with God and with our fellow human beings. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a moment or two and greet one another and share God's blessing. And then we'll close out with our chorus.
Friday, I'm going to watch the math. 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 I'm going
Here comes the plow. Yeah. Well, he came down on the one side, but it looks like this another one's coming, I think. All right, let's all stand together, and we're going to close out there. If you're using your hymn book, it's 506. If you're on the sheet, it's on the back of the sheet there, so don't miss it back there. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go forth as the Holy Spirit empowers us this week.
May the light of Christ guide us on our journey.
May the love of God bring forth healing and restoration all of our days. Amen.